The summer after my second year in seminary, I had the opportunity to go on an 8-day silent retreat. And it was exactly what I needed at that time because those first 2 years in seminary had been extremely challenging. While the months leading up to my decision to enter seminary had been filled with joy and a sense of closeness with the Lord, the very moments I entered seminary, it felt like the Lord had completely abandoned me. And I didn't have the spiritual tools at the time. I wasn't equipped at the time to really understand what was going on in my mind, heart, and soul. I felt very confused and discouraged. Why would the Lord abandon me at the very moment I answered his call? I felt betrayed, as if the Lord had not kept his promise to me. All of these thoughts and feelings came to the surface of my heart during that 8-day silent retreat, and the priest that I met with every day of the retreats encouraged me to bring these thoughts and feelings to the Lord and prayer. And one of the scripture passages that the priest had me pray with during that retreat was the gospel we just heard proclaimed. The priest encouraged me to take the place of Thomas, to imagine that I was Thomas in that story. And as I did that, and as I imagined and prayed with that, some questions naturally came to the surface. Why wasn't Thomas around the first time that Jesus appeared to his disciples? Why wasn't he there that first time, that Easter morning, when Jesus appeared to them? What was going through Thomas's mind and heart at the time? Our gospel, of course, is silent and doesn't answer these questions. Thomas is like the relative that doesn't show up for the family gathering, but we don't know why he's not there. Thomas could have been there that first time that Jesus appeared. He could have been there. He had no excuse not to be there, but inexplicably, he wasn't. As I prayed with this, as I imagined myself as being Thomas, I felt in my heart the same things that I was feeling at that time. I felt confused, discouraged, and betrayed. I thought about what Thomas might have been feeling, having been with Jesus for 3 years in his public ministry and then witnessing his horrible passion and death, seeing him, or rather hearing about him, being buried in the tomb. What Thomas might have been feeling at that time. Throughout Jesus' public ministry, Jesus had given every sign that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior of Israel. Jesus had promised. He had promised salvation in both word and deed. But from Thomas's perspective, it must have seemed like Jesus had not delivered on his promise. Yes, he and the other apostles abandoned Jesus, but it probably felt like Jesus had also abandoned them. Jesus wasn't supposed to leave them. He wasn't supposed to die. In his hurt and sense of betrayal, I imagined Thomas staying away from the other apostles. I imagined him ignoring reports that Jesus had risen from the dead. Thomas, as I imagined, didn't want to get his hopes up. He didn't want to be betrayed again. Fool me once, shame on me, but fool me twice. I said that wrong. Fool me once. It's supposed to be a dramatic moment, but fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And we can hear that sense of betrayal, right? We can hear that when Thomas says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. One of the most common experiences in life is disappointment. People and things don't live up to our expectations. They overpromise and underdeliver. Whether it's what we have, who we know, or what we do, we expect these things to make us happy, but they never do, at least not completely. No matter how great these things are, they often, in the end, leave us disappointed. And sometimes we can feel disappointed with God as well. I know I did after my first 2 years in seminary, and perhaps Thomas felt disappointed with the Lord in our gospel today. Perhaps you felt that way before. Perhaps you're feeling that way right now. Disappointed with the Lord. When people don't live up to our expectations, when those who are supposed to love us leave us feeling confused, discouraged, and betrayed, leaves a mark. It wounds us, it hurts us deeply. And this is especially true when it comes to God. Disappointment with God can leave a deep wound, can cause us to doubt God's goodness and his faithfulness. But that is why the risen Christ, although he was perfect in every other way, that is why the risen Christ rose again with his wounds. He left the wounds, although he could have risen without them, in order to heal the wounds of our own hearts, wounds that so often come from disappointments. St. Augustine, one of the great fathers of the church, said exactly that about our gospel today. He said, "Our Lord, who could have risen without any vestige of a wound, kept the scars that the doubting apostle might touch them, and so that the wounds of his own hearts might be healed." Jesus rose with his wounds so that he might heal our wounds. And it is to heal our wounds, especially the wounds of disappointment, that Jesus kept the scars. And Jesus keeps the scars, he keeps his wounds even to this day. Every time we come to Mass, every time Jesus becomes present on that altar in the Eucharist, Jesus becomes present with his wounds, with his scars. He is risen, but he has kept the wounds. And every time we come to Mass, we have the opportunity, as Thomas did, to hear Jesus say to us, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Friends, Jesus never overpromises or underdelivers. He is always faithful. He will never abandon or forsake us. He is with us. And that's a beautiful thing to be reminded of on this Divine Mercy Sunday. And so in just a few moments, when Jesus, the risen Christ, becomes present on that altar, when Jesus, with his wounds, with his scars intact, becomes present on the altar, when Jesus is lifted up, may we look upon our risen Savior, our wounded Savior, and may we say with Thomas, may we make with him his profession of faith. May we say to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Amen.